Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Changing the Narrative podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Gabriel Warren, along with Carl Benson. And we are here today with another special guest, Larry Walker. Larry, thanks for being a part of the podcast for us this evening.
For sure. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Well, I'm sure that the listeners are always curious to know who we have coming onto the podcast. So we always like to start by just giving you an opportunity to share with the listeners a little bit about yourself, tell about who you are, what you do, anything about your personal or professional hobbies.
Oh, definitely. Well, Larry Walker, originally from all over. St. Paul, Minnesota. Grew up on the east side in the areas of, in the not only the east side, but just around St. Paul in general growing up. What I do professionally, I'm a territorial sales rep for Anderson Windows is what I do professionally. I'm also the founder of No Self, which is something I had created to the realms of uplifting or assisting with the uplifting of fallen humanity. Something me and a couple of my friends were part of, giving out turkeys and food and doing just a bunch of things in the community that's surrounded just men getting together and trying to help out younger men, just so their confidence level was raised high, just to give them someone to look to say, hey, I needed, you know, some shoes or some personal hygiene. So we just developed the, you know, No Self and No Not from the term, you know thyself and to thy own be true. And we did that for a while. And so professionally, a sales rep outside of that, which is one of the reasons I'm part of the 100 Black Men, is I enjoy giving back to the community.
Are you still currently doing No Self?
Is that No Self is currently being, it's a rebranding stage is taking place right now. As far as the direction, it was more so geared towards a smaller segment and just broadening the horizons now that I have a few other people on the team.
Okay, very cool. I'd love to learn more about that once you go through the process of getting it back and rebrand, whatever you're working on. Just make sure we follow up on that, because it sounds like something that, from just personally, it sounds really interesting.
Definitely.
Concept and whatnot. So you mentioned Anderson Windows, and I think that what I'm curious about is, one, how'd you land there? But then also, from the standpoint, I think you and I have mentioned once before that you travel throughout the upper Midwest. Similar, just understanding what your job looks like going into, as a Black man, going into some of the accounts you go to, or the cities you go to, or the, do you feel everything's kind of like Minnesota? Just tell us a little bit about the job itself, and then tell us a little bit about the, how you got in that career path, why you got in that career path, and what you like or don't like about it.
Definitely. So prior to being in sales, I worked for, prior to being with Anderson Windows, I worked for a company called Parago, of which I was an account manager that we went around on the United States, working with different utility companies to set up rebate programs. And of course, Energy Star was one of our clients. That led me into Anderson Windows once we were acquired by another company. And I didn't know much about windows and doors at that time, but I knew I wanted to get into sales. And so I worked my way through transportation and networked with a couple of people that I know in sales. And that turned out to be an area that I wanted to be in, but not just wanted to be in, but again, met where I wanted to see for in that particular time financially. Coming in that as a Black man I'm not going to say easy. It wasn't easy at all. It's not many people in that field, especially again in Minnesota, where it's not, I think it's 300,000 out of 5.5 million. And so to be in sales and especially dealing with windows and doors, I'm probably at the time I started, probably the only Black person on my team. And then going into the market to where I'm traveling and dealing with our business partners, or our dealer partners is what we call them. They're in rural areas of Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan, which, you know, being a Black man in America, you go into those areas that some still were considered sundown towns. So, you know, trying to navigate that took a lot,
Right.
because again, you had to get people comfortable with being uncomfortable and bringing it back to a business state. So it was definitely a learning curve earlier on. But again, being as though I grew up in Minnesota, it's kind of you deal with that a lot, how to navigate. You're probably sometimes the only black guy in the room, the only black guy in the field. And just taking that with me kept me from being offended when, certain things were said or the treatment, for lack of a better term, when going to these places.
Gotcha. Right on. Right
That's
on.
good, man. And
Appreciate that.
it's good. I mean, you mentioned something in your answer there that sundown towns, and I know we have some listeners who may not necessarily understand what that is. So I'll quickly explain that. Basically, it's just there are some areas where the rumor mill or the understood unwritten rule is that if you're a black person, you have to be out before the sun goes down. Or you'll run into some situations that might be unfortunate. So I like to clear that up because we, typically may have people who are not black who are unfamiliar with what that term means. So they understand kind of what we already know. So thanks for sharing that, man. But so it sounds like you walk into some tough spots and you have opportunity to kind of represent not just your company, but also, what it means to be a black man in an industry that sounds to be very limited. So what motivates you to kind of get up and keep going every day? You kind of hit on it a little bit, but do you want to expound on that?
Well, it's my admiration to never go back to where I came from motivates me. So when I get up in the morning, it's what am I going to do to ensure that either me or my son never sees or goes back to that, which was again somewhat of a rough upbringing, impoverished, lack of certain responsibilities and areas as well as resources. So that motivates me to keep moving forward, and as you guys say, change the narrative. Even when you go into these places, you have an opportunity to change the mindset. You have an opportunity to change how people look at you based off of what their preconceived notions are or their prejudices are. They've likely not ran into a person or ran into a group of people and had that experience. So, that's what pushes me when I wake up in the morning. And it's not just, the sense of being black, but again, just to ensure that whoever I'm look who's looking at me, my nephews or my son, whoever have you, they see that same drive, and it motivates them to do better in life. That's what drives me.
That's what's up. Yeah, I appreciate that. So, speaking of what drives you, what tell us a little bit more about, and I know you mentioned your nonprofit, but just in general, what are you doing in community? Of course, we know you through 100 Black Men, Twin Cities, but tell us kind of, just, growing up in St. Paul and whatnot, what do you participate in? What do you get yourself active in the community?
Oh yeah, so I do a like I'm part of also a, one of the employee resource groups is the African Descent Network, and through that, I partner with local communities, whether it's Rondo Days, the Jazz Fest, used to be Selby Days, from that to the Minnesota, I think it's the Minnesota, the African American Museum, an art gallery in Minneapolis. I think I messed up the actual
It's all good.
title, but we worked with a lot. I worked with a lot of those groups. But growing up, it was just seeing Rondo Days and going to those events and seeing how they were set up. They gave a place where we didn't have to worry. It was more smiles and laughter than it was worrying. Whether you had on Nikes or you had on Pumas or you had on Reeboks or again Pro Wings, it didn't matter because in those spaces it was safe. And so even growing up having a mentor myself, which served as the reason why I want a mentor, provided me, and he was more so in the community and active and donating and just being a participant, that locked me in to that earlier on. I didn't know how I wanted to do it, didn't know when I wanted to do it, but you know how God works, he puts you in places where you thrive in. And so Growing up, it was a lot of being around it, but not necessarily participating in it. Knowing that it was going on, but not knowing who's running it and who's to run it or who to contact. And so taking that and just applying that in my family, just getting them community based. That's where it's kind of started growing up. And then overall, being from St. Paul, it's this weird thing about St. Paul and Minneapolis where, St. Paulians and Minneapolis, whatever you call the name is, but whatever that is, there's this thing where we feel like there's a difference between these two cities, which it kind of is, but it's not, it wasn't many of us in St. Paul, where it's a lot of programs in Minneapolis that you can get involved in. It's a lot of representation in Minneapolis. So with it being just so grassroots, so small in St. Paul is kind of, something I take pride in.
Absolutely. Very cool. Very cool. I know we spend a lot of time in St. Paul. I give you guys a hard time, but I'm always there. So I'm starting. It's starting to. I wouldn't say love it, but I'm starting to get used to it. How
Yeah,
about
for sure.
that?
As I am Minneapolis.
There you go. What's up?
That's good, man. So society paints a picture, writes a narrative about, what it means to be a black man in our country. And, I like to have a conversation with guys like yourselves to kind of, I don't know, kind of give our perspective, you know what I'm saying? Because here we are, three black men on Zoom, and we're talking about, changing the narrative. So I like to ask this question to all of our guests, but what is one misconception that maybe you've heard or you witnessed that you would like to eradicate about what it means to be a black man in our society?
Culture. That culture is somewhat related to criminal. Being black is different from the culture of black people. The culture of black people is what's often stereotyped and associated with, criminality. If your jeans are hanging a certain way, if your hat is worn a certain way, it can be related to, someone that goes to prison or someone that sells drugs if you have jewelry on. And so that's part of a culture that was created, through struggle, right? Through our courageous and creativity, through being courageous and having that creativity to function in places where we're not wanted, from the 60s and 70s on up, a culture was formed. And then, as that's promoted a certain way, or whether it's, a kid doing this, or you see basketball players swagging out the basketball association with, how they wear tattoos or how they dress, that sometimes and a lot of the times is viewed or gets associated with being a criminal, being someone who's volatile, being someone who's just street, for lack of a better term. And that's the narrative. That narrative needs to change, because I know a lot of kids and I know a lot of people who operate or dress or operate from a standpoint of culture, that are even doctors or principals, and it's just what that is, and it may not be understood, which I think that's slowly changing, but it's adaptable, and it's not something that should be used as a stereotype to associate, just because you do this or wear this or operate like this, that you're somewhat a criminal. So that is one of the narratives or one of the things that I see that I would like to change ultimately, because if you're wearing, Jabot jeans when I grew up, or if you're wearing True Religion jeans, you can still be someone who graduates from Harvard. You can still be someone who goes and graduates from a trade school and have no, as your mother and your father in your life, grandparents in your life, and still be subjected to that type of prejudice.
Right.
I hear that. Appreciate it. So we talked a little bit about misconceptions of black men and culture, of course. So what does success look like for you? How do you visualize success if someone asks you what's the definition of your success, or what's the definition of success?
Success, wealth, health, and stealth. is three words that come to mind when I think about success. Wealthy just doesn't mean riches. Wealth is a mind state first and foremost. If you're wealthy, then you have the ability or you have access to certain resources. Health without health, no matter how much money or wealth you have, you know, without being healthy, it's not necessarily worth it. So health is important, and stealth, meaning a lot of the times we're flashy to us to for lack of a better term. We like to share our progress. We like to be out with whatever we're doing, and I think stealth is the way to go, because when you have that type of, not to say that anything's wrong with it, but in my version of success, it's, you know, the more you're infamous, the more infamous you are, the more you can move, the more ways you can navigate, and it's less hate or less negative energy, you know, thrown your way because someone sees you look a certain way or sees you with a certain person or flashy, when it's just a projection of what they don't have. So those that would be my idea of success, if
Really?
that fits that.
That makes sense. Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
When you said stealth, I was like, okay, I want to hear this because I want to see where you're going with that one. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So now, you know, we asked you to share a little bit about the misconceptions that you would like to kind of eradicate, and then, you know, hear kind of your definition of success. And I think it's important to hear those two things because it kind of helps lead us to our next question. So, from your perspective, you know, what should that narrative be? So if you had the ability to kind of, you know, rewrite the narrative of what it means to be a Black man in America, what would you say? Like, how would you communicate that to people listening who may need to hear that?
Though it's a beautiful struggle, right? Being a Black man in America, what I would like to, what the narrative should be, when we say that, it's just togetherness. I think the divide and conquer tactic has been outdated. Now, I know it's been something that's been prevalent for a while, but togetherness, and if we're viewed as people who are deemed as, you know, they have, we're together, we're together on whether we're up, whether we're down, we're together, then that's a strong foundation to stand on top of. And from that foundation, our kids can grow, our grandkids can grow, and then that will provide a common unity to build a better community. That would be what I would like to change, or that would be, from my perspective, a narrative that I would like to see moving forward.
So I know we're probably going to wrap up in a little bit, but I wanted to sort of check in on a couple of things. You mentioned a few things that you do and whatnot. How do we keep in contact with you? How do we make sure that we're following you if that's something you like to do, or following things you're passionate about? How can we let the listeners know that?
Oh, definitely. Sure. I mean, you can follow me on the socials, Facebook, NoSelf99, on Facebook. Look up NoSelf, all capital letters. Some updates, some things will be updating there soon. Larry NoSelf at Gmail, and of course, Larry, or excuse me, NoSelf99 at gmail.com for any questions or concerns on what's to come. Website is being updated, but it will be NoSelf99 at whatever it may be when it gets there, but I'll keep that circulating on the socials to make sure that I circle back with you gentlemen on that when it's updated. But yeah, those are some places you can meet me at. I'm also with the 100 Black Men, so you guys know, and anyone else that likes or appreciate what we do, show up, come out, support. I'm sure I'm not the only one to have things going on within the 100 Black Man.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate it, bro.
Absolutely. Well, man, you know, I know these podcast episodes are always way, way, way too short. You know, we could, you know, take this going for like another hour or so just with all the things that, you know, you have going on and the ways you're giving back to the community. But, you know, we definitely like to respect your time as well as our listeners. So I'll just wrap it up by saying thank you for, you know, spending some time with us and sharing with our listeners about, you know, what it means to be a Black man from your perspective, and help us to continue this mission of changing the narrative, man. So we definitely appreciate you being a guest on the podcast.
I appreciate you again, once again, for being a part of it. I'm excited for what you guys are doing. A giant leap for man began with a small step. I think this is one of those steps that pushes the envelope forward. So I appreciate what y'all are doing, and any support you need from me, you can count on.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
All right. Yes, sir.